Philippians chapter 4. Let me try to teach you something tonight that might change the way you think about things just a little bit. And we did come to change a little bit, didn't we? A little ring up here, guys. You can get that taken care of. I'm sure you will. Philippians chapter 4. You guys back there, as it went around, you didn't know who you were and all that. I heard somebody said, I've heard so many life-changing messages, I don't even know who I am anymore. And sometimes we come to these meetings and we hear a message, we go, man, that thing changed my life. But it literally, we want to change a little bit and be conformed more to the image of Christ. Would you agree with that? And a lot of it is attitude. Look at Philippians chapter 4, and would you look with me and start with me at verse 22 and stay right with me. Now, the more you talk to me, the sooner we'll get to the next preacher. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 22. He says this, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Brethren, Paul right now is writing to the Philippians, and he's under house arrest. He's in Caesar's household, and he's under arrest. He had been traveling by boat after boat after boat to get over there to Rome, where God told him he was going to head. And now he's in Caesar's household, and he's under arrest. But I just think the probably more saints there than when he came, amen? Probably went in a few to Christ there. And he said, all the saints salute you, chiefly they are Caesar's household. So here he is under house arrest. And I want you to think with me just for a moment. He was on that boat heading over that way, and that ship sunk, if I remember correctly. I don't think a prisoner would have too much with him, but I know when the boat sunk, when he pulled up on shore there, you know what he had? Nothing. Let me say that again. When he got to that little island, he came ashore with all the rest of those that had been on the boat, you know what he came ashore with? Nothing. As a prisoner, he probably didn't have much with him, but whatever he had was gone. And he gets on another boat a few months later, and he pulls into Rome, and you know what he pulled into Rome with? Nothing. Not anything we would consider anything in this world. He had no worldly, earthly good. Is that right? Well, look what he says in verse number 18. But I have what? All. Whoa. What did he say? Say it again. I have what? All in abound. Look what he said there. He said, I am what? Full. Wait a minute. You know what he had in the world? Nothing. But you know what he said? I have all. He says, man, I'm abounding. I'm full. I got everything. When I read that, I thought, how did he do that? Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10. Little ring up here, guys, if you can take that out. If not, it doesn't bother me if it doesn't bother them. Verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Watch. That now at the last your care of me has flourished again. He's writing to these Philippians. He's under house arrest. And he says, hey, you all sent something to me again. Your care of me has flourished, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of, say the next word, want. He says, I'm not talking about what I want for myself. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Whatever the circumstances I'm in, I've learned something. Therewith. What therewith? Whatever state I'm in that state that God has me in, under those circumstances that God has me involved with, in that state, I've learned to be content. I've learned to accept it. Then he says this, I know both how to be abased, brought low, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am what? Instructed. He's been taught something. And if he can be taught, we can be taught. Both to be full and to be what? Say it, hungry. And by the way, he's saying, I've learned to have hunger and still be content. Both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, brethren, look up here. You know when we preach that particular verse right there, oftentimes, and I've done it too, we talk about doing great things for God, and we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know what he's saying? I'm in prison. I don't have any worldly goods to my name. But I've learned something. I've learned how to be hungry. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to suffer need. But I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, concerning the wants that I might have for myself, I've learned how to be contented. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what he's saying there? I can have nothing and be contented. I can be wherever I'm at in God's will, and he was in God's will. And he had nothing. You see, it's a little harder to learn how to be contented, how to be hungry, how to suffer need, and how to accept it. And then he says, I can do all things. You know what he's talking about? I can even do the negative things. I want to teach you something a little bit tonight. I want you to listen very carefully. It's so simple, but sometimes it's simple things. And I'm hoping that about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, you'll wake up thinking about this. I'll pray some of y'all wake up this week early. 4:30, 5 o'clock, because that's when the Holy Spirit does some wonderful work. Come on. He says, I've learned in whatsoever state, whatever my circumstances are, I've learned therewith to be content. Now look up here. Here's what I want for me. And here's what I have for me. You know what I am? I'm discontented. Now look up here again. Here's what I want for me. And here's what I have for me. When what I want for me is more than what I have for me, I'm discontented. Would you agree with that statement? So you know what the world says? Get more. So you can be contented. But you know what I find when I get more for me? Are you like me? Is your old man like my old man? Look up here now. The world says we'll get more. But every time I get more for me, it seems like I want more for me. And the world says we'll just get more. Well, then I want more. Is that right? He said, that's simple. I know it's simple. But you know what Paul said? I've learned. I've been instructed. In whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be what? Say it. Content. And contentment means this. What I want for me is less than what I have for me. Let me say it again. Look at this. When I want less than what I have, I'm contented. Come on, we still all right? Let me say it again. When I want less for me than what I have, I'm contented. And I can say, I'm full. I have everything. I don't need anything. I'm contented. Everything's fine. I'm at peace. We all right still? Look up here just for a moment. Don't get discontented over this. Look up here. Watch now. Stay with me. A lot of Christians walk around discontented. Get your eyes on me. This is all going to be washed and cleaned and everything. It's just a table, all right? Look up here. A lot of Christians walk around discontented. I want to show you just a little bit tonight. Here's what a discontented Christian is. Here's what he or she wants, and here's what she or she has. Now I want you to wake up thinking about this. Look at this ugly little face, and look at these two little ugly little paws up here. And when you wake up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, here's what you're going to see. And the Holy Spirit's going to be working with you. And the world says the solution is have more. Then we want more. Then we have more. You know what advertising does? It makes us want more. Come on, is that right? When we look at what somebody else has, we want more. We want what they have. Is that right? Now watch. Here's Christian maturity.
if I didn't get that. Watch. Here's Christian maturity. Now, if you're listening to this by tape, you're saying, well, tell me, what is it? You should have been in church. Watch. Here's Christian maturity. Look up here. Wanting less. Is that right? Look up here again. He said, Paul said, I'm full and I have all and abound. You know why? Because his wanter and what he desired for himself was way down here. And therefore, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be what? Content. And you know what he had? Nothing. Is that right? Oh, by the way, just so we understand, in this world, down while he was down here, what did Jesus have in this world? Look up here. What did in this world, what did Jesus have? The birds of the air have a nest, and the foxes, they have their holes, but the Son of Man, there's no place to lay. And how was his wardrobe? Yeah, I think he had one garment. By the way, I got a few suits. I drive a nice car. Well, you say, well, then why are you preaching this? The whole point of it is, if God took it away tonight, would I still be contented? Come on. What did Jesus have in this world as far as materialism? And what did he want? I know this. He wanted less than what he had. Is that right? We all right with that, Sue? I know this. Jesus was contented. Just let it sink in for a moment. Well, how do you learn to want less? Look at James chapter 1. I've been instructed, he said. Look at James chapter 1. Now, I'll bear this out in just a minute why this is important. Everybody still all right? Look at James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, look at verse number 2. My brethren, that's us, is that right?
Yes.
Talk to me now. Amen. See, now, wait a minute. Some of y'all are kind of freezing up because you said, man, I come to shout, and here y'all are talking about wanting less. I come to camp meeting, you first night, first thing, you hit me about wanting less. I like this. You know why? Because we want more. I don't want to hear about wanting less because I have some things I want. I didn't say you couldn't have them. In fact, here's the way it works. The way to be first is to be what? Last. The way to be strong is to be what? Weak. The way to be the greatest is to be the least. Is that all right?
Yeah.
The best seat in the house is the lowest seat.
Yeah.
And the way to have more is to desire less.
You're right.
Wait a minute. I got all the rest of them. But that one I don't get. The way to have more is to desire less. That way God can give you more, but what you have doesn't have you. You have it. Come on, is that right?
Yeah.
Look up here again. The way to have more is to desire less. So when God gives it to you, it doesn't have you. You have it. And that way, if God wants you to give it up, I'm still contented. Because I still desire less than I have. And if he wants me to give up more, then I can. And I'm still contented. Then if he wants to give me more so I can start the whole process over again, it's no problem. We still all right? If someone's going to the mission field, you know what they have to learn? To be content. And desire less in this world. Would you agree with that statement? Because they have to give some things up, don't they? And the easiest way to give things up is to desire less. And that's why missionaries come in and say, oh, no, we have all. We're just fine. I like the missionaries out there that are going through deep trials and don't complain. You know what I get tired of reading? Missionary letters that complain and murmur. Talk about how the churches aren't supporting them. That gets old. You ever get those? Now, factually, for somebody to say we're going through this, we're going through that, but God's taking care of everything, is I like that. You know why? Because we all go through this. And it's just not materialism. Now, some of you froze up on me for a moment there. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be what? Say it. Content. And contentment is when I want less than what I have for myself. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. My brethren, that's us, is that right? Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Why should we count it joy? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, mature. And what do those last two words say it? Wanting nothing. Speaking about wanting nothing for who? For self. Hey, brother, when we want less for ourselves, it gives us the opportunity to want more for others. Okay, you're freezing on me here. You're still back on that wanting less thing. Hey, nothing wrong with owning a home. Just don't let it own you. Is that right? You know what he says? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is going to work patience. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Look up here. Wanting nothing. That's maturity. God can do more with us when we want less for ourselves. God can do more with a church that wants less for itself. Well, how did Paul learn all these things? Watch. I mean, how many times are you going to do this till you get it? Till you dream about it? Till the Holy Spirit wakes up and says, I want to work on your wanting. How did Paul learn? How was he instructed to want less? Watch. Beating. Stoning. Peril. Shipwreck. Trial. And he was sitting there in a Roman prison-like situation with nothing and said, you know what I am? I'm contented. And the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. God can see in our hearts where we're contented or not. And he can also see if we're discontented. He'll use more contented people than he will discontented people. We're all right with that, Stu? Look at this. When I want less for myself, Satan doesn't have much power over me. You're in James 1? Look at verse 14. Verse 14. In verse 14 it says, but every man is what? Say it. Tempted. When he is drawn away of his own, say it, lust. That's a desire. That's a want. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Brother, if our wants go down, if our lusts go down, if what we want is less, then wouldn't you agree that there's less to draw us away? Yeah, well, wouldn't you agree with that? Let me say it again. If I don't want as much for myself, then there is not as much to draw me away. If God can take a lot of those wants and needs and things I think I must have and reduce those, then Satan can't draw me away as much. He has less to work with. All right? Satan started this way. He's the anointed cherub that covereth. Is that right? But he became discontented. He wanted more. He wanted to be like the Most High. It wasn't good enough what he was, what God made him to be. So his sin was partially because of discontentment. So then he comes to the earth. And you know what he does to Eve? He causes her to be discontented. Come on, look up here. God created her perfectly contented. We say in the New Testament it says, with food and raiment therewith to be content. She only had food. But she didn't know she was naked. And she was perfectly contented. Is that right? But Satan showed up and said, look at that tree. And she looked on it and thought, that food looks good. And it's pleasant to the eye. And its desire is to make one wise. Concerning what? Good and evil. Who created that desire in her? Satan did. He caused her to think. And caused her to get discontented. Is that right? So she ate, gave it to her husband, he did eat, and now they're both discontented. Is that right? Man now has fallen. Fallen from what? Contentment. Say, how do you know that? All of us were born discontented. That little baby there? What a sweet little baby. Discontented little baby. Me. Oh no, so sweet. Wait till that little child too. Me. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Me. Give it me. Put them in the nursery together. They'll fight over the same toy. Come on, is that right?
Yeah.
That's discontentment. We're born that way. We must be born again.
Yeah.
We must be born again to get contented.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when the church is discontented, it's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to Numbers 11 real quick.
Good.
Come on, Numbers chapter 11. Say, man, when's he going to start preaching? You're doing fine. Numbers chapter 11. We still all right? Numbers 11. Verse 1. And when the people did what? Say it. Wait a minute. Let's say it again. And when the people what? Mark it down. What are they complaining about? They're discontented. Are they in God's will, brethren? Not with their attitude. Are they right where God wants them to be out in the wilderness? Are they called the church in the wilderness? And did God lead them out there? And did God give them what he thought they should have at that point in time? And are they complaining about God's will with God's provision and are out there murmuring, complaining about God? And I got to tell you, a church that's murmuring and complaining where their wants are more than what they have for themselves is a discontented, complaining church.
Yeah.
Every church usually has complainers in it. I don't know who they are. I don't know who you are, so I can talk about you, and I don't even know who you are. I'll go to sleep tonight, and if you don't come up and tell me you're a complainer, I won't even know that. But the church knows who they are. They complain about this, complain about that, complain about this. You know what that person is showing? Discontentment. It's all about them. It's all about what they want. It's all about the way they think it should be. Come on. And they just complain and complain and complain. It's because of discontentment. You know what would be wonderful? Look up here. If their wants would just decrease a little bit. They might just find out everything is okay. You know what a church hopper does? Goes from church to church to church to church to church. You know why? Here's what they have. But here's what they expect. And every church they go to, it's the same. They find something wrong. Because here's what they want, and here's what they see. And it's easy to find wrong with church. You don't have to look too long. You know who the real losers are? Not the church, the people. They're losing out. And you know what they're going to do? Waste their lives. Discontented. Is that right? Well, I'm just not getting anything out of the preaching. That's because people are coming in carnal. Why is everybody else getting something? Well, he didn't say it quite the way I think he should have. Well, Lord, what you want? And then maybe you'll get something while you're there. And by the way, people teach their children that too. And then they wonder when they're 18 why they're not in church. Well, they've taught them to be discontented. They've taught them why the church is wrong. They taught them what's wrong with the church. Here's what they expected. Here's what they had. And that's all the children heard all their life. Complaining, complaining, complaining. They're just discontented out there. God's giving them out there manna every day. But you know what they want? Leeks, garlic, tissues. They want Egypt. They weren't complaining against Moses. They were complaining against God. Are we still all right? Now, some of y'all are getting a little bit... I won't know if you just smile. Oh, we're going to have a camp meeting. Oh, let's have a camp meeting. Whoa, let's check our attitude first.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. As a pastor, I see a lot of things wrong with our church. Let me say that again. I pastored there 18 years. I see a lot of things wrong with the church. But you say, brother, why do you say? Because, brother or sister, if you were in my role and you were going to last for 40 years, you'd have to learn to get contented. And the church isn't perfect all the time. Amen? But you don't just leave a church when it's not perfect. Otherwise, you'd be leaving church after church after church after church after church after church after church. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's God's church. So they're out there complaining in the wilderness about how God's providing for them, and they're complaining about this manna coming down. Watch now real carefully. Verse 5. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt, stay with me, freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. That's what they wanted. Here's what they had in verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna. You know who they're complaining against? God. That's a direct complaint against God. Would you agree with that? Look at Numbers chapter 12. Stay right with me. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman of whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Brethren, you go back and study it. The bush burned after he married that woman. Now, wait a minute. I didn't get that. God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and he knew who he was married to. Now, let me say that one more time. When the bush burned and God said, I'm calling you to take off your shoes, this is holy ground, he knew who he was married to. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? There's the problem. They're discontented with leadership. Let me say it again. They're discontented with their brother, the leader, Moses. Why? Here's what they wanted him to be. And here's what he was. If you're going to stay in a church a long time, lower your expectations of your pastor. I didn't say liberal. But give him a little grace. And give his family a little grace. And give his children a little grace. And then look in the mirror. And while you armchair quarterback him, you don't know what it's like calling to play something. And we all murmur a little bit. That's okay. I don't mind a little murmuring. I expect a little murmuring. I do. I expect a little murmuring about me as a pastor. But not every Sunday. And not to everybody they can talk to. And not to anybody that'll listen. Well, all right. And not finding fault all the time. I didn't say allow him to be liberal. But if a guy's trying and working at it, how about lowering down what you want a little bit? So you can stay. Amen. I got to tell you the truth. I don't like everything I do all the time as a pastor. I've gone home before and said, I didn't like what I did there. I wish I could have that one back over again. Believe me, a pastor can be hard on himself. A leader can be real tough on himself. Even leaders, sometimes we got to lower ourselves down a little bit with what we expect of ourselves and give us a little time to grow.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not talking liberal. I'm talking about learning. Are you getting this? Let me throw it out a different way. You know what, Pastor? My wife is just not what I expected her to be. She's just not what I expected her to be. Or Pastor, my husband.
Amen,
he's just not what I expected him to be.
Yeah.
How can I change him? How can I change her?
Come on.
What am I going to tell you the solution is? Why don't you just lower what you expect a little bit and take the heat off? All right, here's Doug Fisher, and my wife's name is Patty. And we married a number of years ago, and now I look at her, and I say, you know what? She's just not exactly what I want in a wife. You know what a lot of guys try to do? They try to work and change that wife, 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 and change that wife. You know what might be better? Why don't you change what you want and let God change it? Take the pressure off. Well, he's just not what I want him to be. That's because you're looking at somebody else and comparing. By the way, after a few years, you're going to find out there are some changes that happen between people and marriages. Things do happen along the trail. Well, he's just not, I don't know, he's just not this, he's just not, you know, he's not affectionate, he's not romantic, he's kind of gross, you know. How do I change him? Sister? God may wake you up and say the only solution right now is for me to bring down what you want a bit so you can continue to dwell with him, because this is going to take a little longer to change. This one's a little more stubborn, sister. You parents, when those kids turn 18, 19, 20, 21,
yeah.
You can do it your way. He's going to turn 18 one of these days. 19, boy, he looks nice right now, but when they're 19, 20, they can be a little challenge. Now you do it your way, but don't cast them off. You may have to weep and cry and break a little bit while they're going through what you expect them to be. Are you still the parents? You know, that church in the wilderness never did get where God wanted them to go. Let me say it again. That church in the wilderness, you know what he was going to do? Look up here. He was going to take them out of Egypt. He was going to run them through the wilderness for a while and take them over to the promised land, but they weren't going to stay out there for 40 years. You know what he was going to do in the wilderness? Look up here. He was going to lower down just a little bit about what they wanted and let them depend on him. And then he was going to have them for a while, have a lot less. Food, raiment, water, protection. Learn to depend on him. And then he was going to take them in the promised land and give them all this. That's what he was going to do. But they got out there, and you know what they wouldn't do? They wouldn't change what they wanted. And they kept murmuring, complaining. It says, you brought us out here to kill us. That's what you did. There was discontentment out there, and they murmured and complained among themselves and turned on the leadership. And finally, God said, I'm done with y'all. I'll wait for the next generation. We'll go on in later when I can get some people that are contented and want to go with me. Amen? I want to ask you questions now. Are you contented? Well, you say, how would I weigh that out? How do you look at other people? Contented people can get along with each other. You know what, Brother Fisher? How long are you going to let that person stay in our church? I mean, that person just rubs me raw. I can't stand that person. Maybe that's your test. Maybe God's trying you and testing you with that person. Maybe what needs to happen is for you to change what you expect of that person and learn a little grace. Wait a minute. Look up here. How did God take you? Come on now. How did God take you? How did he find you? When he took you and saved you, how were you? Was everything in order? You know how he found me? A mess. You know how he took me? A mess. But he worked with me. Maybe we ought to work with others that way, too. You know what God's expectations of me were? Pretty low. I'm glad. Oh, I know he wants to conform me to the image of Christ. But he wasn't getting much when he got me. And you ought to look at yourself, and if you're saying, well, brother, he got a catch when he got me. Let me tell you what's going to happen in the school around here for a while. Something's going to happen in a classroom or something's going to happen in a situation and somebody's going to look at each other and go, why don't you lower yourself down a little bit? You know what pride's all about? Sometimes it's too high expectations. God can take care of pride. I remember a guy named Nebuchadnezzar who said, look what I built. Look at, and he said at the end it was his pride and that God knows how to abase those that are proud. And you know what God allowed him to do for 7 years? Eat grass. That lowered him down very nicely, wouldn't you say? By the way, you know what God did after that? He added more majesty to it. And very typically, after God does this with us and brings down what we want for ourselves, he adds to it. We read in the book of Job. You know what happened to that man? He lost it. And then he lost more. And during that process, his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And three friends showed up. And by the time you get to that end of the book, he wants much less for himself. And you know what God does? Gives him much more. The way to be last is to be what? First. The way to be strong is to be what? Weak. The way to be great is to be least, servant of all. The best seat in the house is the lowest seat in the house. And the way to have much is to desire less. Now, how do we desire less? By suffering loss. And by the way, we suffer loss to get gain. Paul said, I count it all but loss, that I might gain Christ. And godliness with contentment is great what? Gain. When we want less for ourselves, now we have the opportunity to want more for others. Last statement. Here's what you got to do with it. California guy. Just expect a little less. Yeah, I walked in and saw the banner out here. I appreciate that. You'd have to go see it. It's kind of perfect. I like it. That's who I am. You go see it. Talks about fruit and nut. That's good. Somebody just lowered their expectations. Amen? I'd come up here and do this all night long, and he'd go, oh, well, I guess he had something to say. It wasn't that bad. Some of y'all are going to walk out tonight and go, I didn't get much out of that. But the Holy Ghost is going to wake you up and say, you got more than you thought. You let that thing pass in this ear and right out that one. Now, I'm going to start talking to you. I want to use you, but I can only use you. And you're saying, please use me more and use my family and use us. But I can only use you when you want less for yourself. And I'm going to put you through a little test. What's the test? Here's what you want, and here's what you have. Or here's what you have. Doesn't matter. I'm going to put you through a little test. Look up here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take away some of the things you have. I'm going to take away something you love. I'm going to take away your health. I'm going to take away something that you just thought you couldn't do without.
Amen.
Why? Look at this. Because when I bring down what you want, I can be your first love again. And you won't love, you won't want this stuff anymore. Because if I can get you down here, I can give you much, I can take away, I can add to, I can do anything like this, and you still love me just the same. And you still praise me just the same. And you would say, blessed be the Lord. He giveth and he taketh away. You see, that's where Job was. But he had to learn some things too. Come on, is that right? Oh, by the way, have you heard of the patience of Job? And he said, let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting what? And he said, have you heard of the patience of Job? Have you seen what I did to Job and how he came out of that more contented with very little? You know what? When he was in captivity, he was just happy to get out of captivity. Didn't matter whether he had anything. When I released him from his captivity, and by the way, that's what it says at the end of the book. When he prayed for his friends, when his friends went to me and said, would you pray for me? And when Job prayed for them, even after what they did to him, he got out of his captivity. And by the way, when you get out of a captivity, you're just happy to be out. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you will one day. If you ever have a captivity time, you'll know what it is. And sometimes those things God brings us about. And you know what those captivity times do? Down our wants come for ourselves. Then we can really be used. We'll go at this a little bit longer, a little bit different time. Maybe tonight, Lord, reduce what I want for myself. So you can use me more for others. Satan. There's nothing wrong with having things. You don't go out there and he said, well, he just wants us to get rid of everything. I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. I just said it's not supposed to be idle. And covetousness is idolatry. That's what that book says. So when we want it so much that we covet it, that's idolatry. And that means we've left our first love. So God reduces that covetousness, lust, or greed. All that has to do with desires. Is that right? So where he says, now I got you back where I want you. Now I can do this all that I want. I can take away, I can give to you, I can add to you, I can give you a lot, and you're still just fine. And then every once in a while, I can ask you to give some of it away, and you're still just fine. And every once in a while, I'm going to do something, but it's not for you, it's for somebody else. I'm going to really take something away, and you just keep a good attitude, and that'll help somebody else that needs to grow. We all right? You sure you all right? I've watched people in here squirm through this message. Squirm. Now listen. Watch what the Holy Ghost does. You know who he won't be able to work with? Somebody that hardens rather than softens. If you harden, you'll not get to the promised land in this world where he wants you to go as an individual. If you harden. But if you soften, he'll take you over to the promised land and he'll give you things. But they won't have you. You'll have them. And you'll be able to use them for the benefit of other people. You know what, church? Happy Valley. Sooner or later, you're going to have to build. Let me say that again. Sooner or later, you're going to have to build. I asked the preacher, how's it doing around here? He said, Sunday morning, it's filling up. Sooner or later, hey, Happy Valley. Sooner or later, you're going to have to build. You know what's going to have to happen in order for you to build? Want less for yourself. Want more for others. And build it for them. And be contented. It's not for you. It's for them. And by the way, you'll lose some people when you talk about building. You know why? They'll say, we're out of here. We're out of here. We'll be back after the building's over. Because I know what he's going to do. He's going to want what I have. And I want what I have. And I don't want to give it up. And they'll miss out on a big blessing. Oh, they'll be back later once you get built. But it's going to have to take some people who will go, you know what? I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I can be content. Let's do it. Let's move toward the promised land. You'll need a building sooner or later. Don't go to these pastors here and say, are you in a building program? Did you hear that? We're going in a building program. I'm looking for another church. Yeah. No, you stay right here. That's how you got here. That's how you hung on to this place. Somebody sacrificed. A dead man wants very little. That brother? And I'm hoping to die daily. And I'm hoping to die to new levels. So God can do more. That's what's going to do. I'll see you at 4:30. I'll see some of y'all at 3:30. I'll see some of y'all at 5 in the morning. Or better yet, you'll see me. You can't do it.